Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hobbs and Friends. I am your host, Jason Hobbs, and I was really scraping the bottom of people that I know. I ran out of friends, and I ended up having to have a guy who was just recently on the show on. But fortunately, we have someone way better than him with him. So I'm going to introduce him first. This guy has some writing credits on Angels, Demons, and the Beings Between. Is that two? Yeah. James Posnell. How's it going, James?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing good.
Great, man. And as most of you have guessed from the horrible French laugh in the background, our other guest is author of Doom of Hezzy Kelemon, Dead Planet, and the recent work that they did together, The Lesser Key to the Celestial Legion. Hello, Mr. Stroud.
Why, hello, Hobbs and friends and James.
Really?
Okay. It's nice to meet you.
I was really feeling bad that Adam was starting to catch up to you, so I had to get you on another show quick.
He's been on one. Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's move right along here because we got big plans, listeners. Big plans. So everyone knows how Don and I know each other. James, I think we met at Gen Con.
Yeah,
briefly. You think that's true or no?
Yeah, briefly. You guys were going out to lunch, and you said, see you later. And I was like, oh.
I think that's accurate. So that was a one great thing that happened at Gen Con, I guess.
I got to meet you.
I was going to say the other way. Oh, okay. So how do you and Don know each other, James, other than Lester Key?
It's funny. We both worked together at the same place a long time ago.
It's true.
Is there a story there?
I don't think much of a story. I didn't even know he was a gamer or a writer or any of that stuff back then. And it was a long time ago, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
8 years ago, 9 years ago, something probably. Like that.
I think we connected talking about smoking meats one day. I was like, oh, James knows how to work a grill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then later, some friends and just kind of we met through a group of friends, like gamers, right? Playing RPGs and stuff. I've been like a relative regular at your table.
Yeah. It's true.
Okay. Awesome. That's good. So
nothing earth shattering.
All right. Talking about gaming tables, what have you been playing lately, James?
Let's see. I used to play every week at work, and then I changed jobs. So now I'm not playing as much. But I did recently run, something that I've been working on at the end of December. And that was some fun to kind of trot that out one more time and get another playtest on it.
You can talk about it now if you want. What was it?
It was The House of the Red Doors, which I played or presented at UConn, and that was fun. And then I've kind of gone into a long editing, cycle with it, cleaning it all up. And it's basically, it's getting really close to being ready to be released.
Mm-hmm. Real briefly, you want to give the listeners a boilerplate? What is it?
Yeah. So Tanith Lee, who you may be familiar from Appendix N fame, she wrote a bunch of books called The Tales of the Flat Earth. And in one of the books, there's an epilogue about the House of the Red Doors. And it's kind of set up like this guy comes in and he wants to like off his uncle, rich uncle, and he doesn't know how to do it. You know, he's got no spine to do it. So he kind of goes into the house to ask this lady, this powerful lady to like take care of it. But he chickens out. And so I was like, well, what would that be like if he actually went in? So that's how the.
So is this like a... Is this a system or
it's setting in DCC? Doc or? No, it's in DCC. So oh, okay. Funnel, but it's a solo funnel. It's a judge versus a player, just one on one. It's kind of weird.
Sounds so adversarial when you say it like that. Mm-hmm.
It was
designed to kind of like it could be a tournament, but it also could use it to like roll up a character or get a peasant ready for an ongoing campaign without having to run a funnel. For everybody.
Okay. Sounds interesting. And we will get you back on the show when you release it.
Cool.
What about you, Don? Are you actually playing any games these days?
Yeah, I ran a little DCC last night for some people. I did. I got back to my Hubris campaign. When I ended it, I sucked them into some world. It was going to be like an MCC game after that, but I just decided to take them back to the original world they'd been playing in, which was just normal DCC. But they all have like Hubris characters right now, so that should be interesting.
All right,
cool. James could not come because I told him he had to stay at home with his kids.
Yeah. I wanted to come.
That's a true story. I was like, no.
All right, so I've been playing Castles and Crusades and Kevin Madison's crazy Delta Green game. Things are heating up, and you can check that out on his Dungeon Musings YouTube channel. All right, let's move into everything about you. I'm sure that Ugly Kid Joe is one of your favorite, James.
Ugly Kid Joe.
All right, so this is a segment of the show that I and my guests try to share something that the listeners may not know. My listeners actually probably know, but I have this huge resistance to finishing projects. I come up with great ideas, talk about my great ideas, and then I come up with other great ideas and then talk about them. Mm-hmm. But you guys, you're not actually finishing stuff. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's actually interesting that you have that problem, because maybe I had that problem too. And I got myself a James Positnal.
All right, Don, while James is going to the bathroom. Yeah, I'm right.
I was like,
what do you got going on?
Oh, man.
You got everything about you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I think that I've talked about between, you know, the various podcasts I've been on, you know, I've had ducks, bees, people know I had frogs. I was just telling somebody at one point I had like 40 snakes. So that's kind of, that's something weird, right?
Sure, man. What about you, James? I know you can top that.
Well, let's see. I think I just kind of let this out during the Kickstarter, but my degree's in medieval history, and I've kind of been, it's been a great source kind of to use as a gaming inspiration, I think. And I was in the SCA, if you know what that is.
Is that a secret cult?
Society for Creative Anachronism. It's a medieval recreationist group.
Nice. I think some of the listeners are surely in that or were in that. Like we're talking about you patches.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
It's kind of like LARPing, right?
It's totally
LARPing.
Except for you never get to cast a sleep spell or anything.
Well, magic's fake, so yeah.
All right. Okay, so
moving right along.
There's been a lot of energy so far here today, Hobbs Goblins. So what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about a very specific project that is currently on Kickstarter by Mr. Stroud and Mr. Posnell called The Lesser Key to the Celestial Legion. I'd be surprised if you haven't heard of it. Maybe which one of you guys wants to do a boilerplate on it quick and kind of give some idea of what the heck it is there?
It's been my project, but, you know, James liked it so much that he kind of took the reins and started going with it. So let's have him talk about it.
I think it is a fantastic set of tables. When Don kind of shared it with me, I was like, this is cool. And it took a little bit to kind of decode what was going on, I guess, in what he had produced. But there was really something there. And I had at one point also around the same time downloaded Raggy's random creature generator. And I tried to use that as a comparison at one point. And I was like, you know what? I really like Don's way better. And that's no slight on the work, you know, by James. But I was like, this deserves to kind of be hammered into shape. And so that's kind of, it's a bunch of tables, a lot of interconnection between tables, and you can just kind of roll up stuff, lots of different parts of like a religion. So angels, that's a kind of big push that Don had at the beginning, but then we just started adding in bunches and bunches and bunches of stuff. So relics and reliquaries and saints, like how they're like posed and all sorts of crazy stuff.
All right. So that's pretty cool. So what would you expect people to do with this precisely, Don?
I would expect them to, first of all, just kind of elaborate on what their cleric can do and kind of the aspects of their faith. Like, you know, do they have to go to a certain place to worship for, you know, a special ceremony for one of their holy days? It generates all kinds of information like that. First and foremost, it was a like it started as just a generator for like these angelic beings. Shit. Cut that out, Brasco. I'm failing.
We're not cutting anything out.
I remember this artist's name who I was seeing a lot of his stuff.
Hey folks, this is your humble audio editor interjecting for Mr. Don Stroud. He's referring to the artist Pete Moorbacher. Pete can be found at vandalhigh.com. That's VANDALHIGH.com.
He did a whole angel series and it was really out there stuff. Oh, that's really too bad that I totally blanked on his name right now. The pressure. Anyway,
was it Picasso?
No, no, getting crazy angels, man. So anyway, so yeah, and I kind of like had the idea, hey, why? Like, yes, we've been doing wizards in towers or monsters in dungeons for how many years? Is it 45, 50? I don't know.
All of them.
All the years.
So I'm like, you could actually like do whole campaigns based on just this like religious stuff. Just look at human history. Like you can be like, oh, your guy can send an angel down and say, hey, those people over there worship a foul god. You should go over there and kill them. You should wipe them out. You should go take their holy statue, bring it back here, destroy it.
It's almost even beyond that. When I look at the book, when I think about what I would do with this book, I think about I'm running a game. I have my own religion that I made up, but pretty much all I did is maybe made a god or a few gods that I took out of Norse mythology, Roman mythology, and Greek mythology. And I threw them down, said what their symbol was and said what alignment they were and said, go to town. But that is really doing a disservice to clerics and one of the biggest reasons why clerics suck ass in role-playing games, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you can kind of use this book to flesh out these religions that you're making specific to a single power or deity and involving all the things they would do, like their, like you said, the places of worship, what their avatars may look like, how they may appear in dreams or whatever, and all the different missions that they could give you. So embellishing everything, even going down to what clerics, you know, some of their duties may be, which would in turn just give you more fodder for campaign ideas and story elements.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. We had gotten that stretch goal just recently where we had to kind of reflesh out like some holy mission stuff that Don had started, had in the book. And he said, I'll make it better. And I said, and so we got to it and we got to that stretch goal. And I was like, it just needs more. It just needs some extra stuff. And then this could be really useful. And then it felt like, oh wait, there's this whole section on conversions and officiating and all this other stuff. And I was able to like start bringing that, those elements into the holy missions where like, oh, you have to go, do some sort of a wedding or a funeral or whatever. And to put those into your campaign as kind of these in between stops or of dungeons and actually have something kind of interesting and related to a community that you're serving or whatever, I thought was, you know, is compelling. It's an extra dimension, right?
Yeah. So one of the, sorry, one of the premises of the whole like duties of the cleric is that they want to get more followers to believe in their God, to give the God more power, right? It's kind of based a little bit on Terry Pratchett's Small Gods. I don't know. I'm sure people read Pratchett. I love him. So the whole point of doing all these religious things is you're converting more people, right? And you're trying to get disciples and you're trying to have them do stuff. And it's like a mini game within the game.
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, instead of just talking about this thing and having people try to figure out what we're saying as the three gamers and not really the greatest communicators of all time, perhaps. No. But the best thing we could do is actually use these tables and try and get something that we could use in a game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So did you have, you had something in mind, Don, or?
Yeah, we can start wherever you want. I remember, man, I'm a horrible podcasting tonight. You had just mentioned like taking, taking other gods and just saying, all right, it's this god, and slapping them down. Like what's, I don't know if it's really important about gods, but I always like to know what the holy symbol looks like. Right. So let's generate a quick little holy symbol for whatever god you were thinking about.
Nice.
And it's easy enough to do. I roll three D20s. I don't know how fun this is going to be for anyone to listen to, but the base of the holy symbol is a rectangle. It's got grain on it. And
like wheat, right?
Wheat. Yeah. Like a sheaf of wheat. And it's got three stones on it.
This book sucks. No, I'm just kidding. Totally. Three stones,
a sheaf of sheaf. Podcasting is so hard. Of grain. So like, what does that even mean? I don't know. Maybe it's important to their god.
Well, you can definitely
elaborate on
slip
that.
Yeah.
What else do you want to know? I mean, I would like to roll up a herald, we call them in the book.
And what is a herald? That's like an avatar of the deity that would come to the prime material plane or something, right?
I guess you could consider an avatar of the deity.
Or maybe like a messenger, a go-between. A
messenger, yeah. It's basically an angel that comes down. It's not like some dude with wings, you know. It could be.
Like, I think when I had taken this, and wrote about it in kind of Gong Farmer, I was like, you know, there, you don't get to talk to your god directly. That's kind of, they're not normally. I mean, you have to be like a really incredibly pious individual and have, you know, maybe very high level or in a kind of a meta gaming sense. But like most of the time, he's too damn busy for you, and he's got somebody else to kind of deal with communicating amongst all the hundreds, thousands of followers or millions of followers. Mm-hmm. So these intermediaries kind of like do that function.
Yeah. So let's take it from the top. There's a table called Incarnation where you see what's going to happen. Like say you're a young cleric, you don't even have a god yet. And you've proven yourself to be holy enough or unholy enough that this herald comes down to introduce you to its god and who it wants you to come worship, right? So a large drop of water forms and expands, then pops, leaving the herald in the place. So what does it look like? That's how it forms. Do you have your book open or am I doing all this? I'll do it all. It's fine.
I was actually finishing the holy symbol. See, I'm going to make a god for one of my games.
Oh, nice.
And I was thinking that I would just use this to do that. So I just kept going with the holy symbol that you did. Nice. So,
all right. Well, this is one of the angels for that god, or the avatar, if you will. So I rolled humanoid with animal head. So then you can go down to the animal section. I should have had someone else do that. 2 and 10.
All right.
I'm sure Braska will tighten this up, right? So it's got the head of a Sicilian. You ever see those?
Nice.
Oh, yeah. You actually know what they are because you wrote about them in a way. So it's a humanoid with a Sicilian head.
Maybe we should tell our listeners what a Sicilian head looks like.
Yeah, it kind of looks like, it is an amphibian, but it's kind of worm-shaped. It's got rings. Some of them have a little tasting tentacle on the side of their face that they sense things with. It's got small beady eyes that are usually ingrown in their head a little bit. Sometimes they're toothy. It's a pretty messed up looking thing. Right? So this is 6 feet tall. This is blah, blah, blah. All right, there's a substance. I'm going to skip that right now, unless I need to roll it.
The substance? What?
The substance. You know.
What's it made out of?
Yeah, what's it made out of?
What's it made out of, dude?
All right. All right.
Let's do it.
Doing it all. 22. We have, it's actually made out of metal. It's living.
Nice.
Yeah. Living metal. It is.
Are we all thinking of like Terminator 2 when we hear that?
Oh, I actually have an entry for liquid metal underneath metal. So no, it's probably more, maybe it's
like jointed. Iron golem.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like iron. Its eyes are filled with radiant light. What color is it, James?
Ooh.
You can roll that. And I'm going to roll the extra features. It's got.
All right. They're purple eyes.
Purple radiant light pouring out of its eyes. It has 18 eyes on its head, probably going down its neck, maybe in its chest. It's got purple flaming wings. So there's your basic quick. I mean, you could do this at the table if you wanted to. Bam, we're done. What is the, so I have these presents tables, like what weird stuff happens when this godly being comes down to the mortal plane, right?
Yeah.
So, as this herald drops, forms out of the drop of liquid, birds and insects are frozen in the air. They just hang there. Like time isn't really frozen, but everything that's flying is actually just frozen. And behind the herald, you kind of see this galaxy spinning, like a giant spiral galaxy. And lastly, whenever the being talks to you, and it's going to talk to you, you as a, you know, dungeon master, game master, judge, you're, of course, wanting to deliver your message to this young cleric, right? Whenever the herald talks, it sounds like water dripping in a cave in the background. So there you've got your basic herald, like easy peasy. There are, I'm not going to say limitless possibilities, but there are a lot of possibilities. That one's kind
of, it does have a lot tame. Of stuff.
Yeah, that one's kind of tame.
That's good for me, though. I kind of like tame.
You don't want it too gonzo. So
you
we already
me.
Did
I wouldn't
your,
say gonzo.
You already did your holy symbol. Do you want to do?
Yeah, let's do something else.
What are your holy symbols made of? Like, what is a material holy to your god? It's copper.
Oh, I already rolled this, man. So what I came up with
nice.
Is so this symbol was made out of glass or crystal.
Okay.
And the priests wear flimsy robes, which I'm not sure what flimsy means, but diaphanous.
Yeah, I would. Ooh, yeah, I'll change that and I'll give you a thank you in the book.
Diaphanous robes. I would actually.
I don't know. That might be a word you have to look up at the table.
I was giving James crap the other day because he used some word and I'm like, come on, dude. Yes,
are you kidding me?
It was inimical.
Yes, it was.
You're using Sicilian.
Well, yeah. Point taken. All right. Did you roll up any accessories for this? Because, of course, a priest has to perform their sacred tasks wearing their holy vestments, right?
Yeah, they're diaphanous robes.
Yeah,
and they robes. Use scrolls and prayers.
All right. So that's like a holy ornament they always have with them.
Right. So what's this stuff about boons that the heralds have?
James,
Yeah. So I think we had imagined that as maybe like some way to maybe give some parameters around divine aid as one of the class features of a cleric. So, you know, you might have called for him via divine aid, and maybe this is something that they give you, other than maybe some sort of specific thing that you ask for. Or as a result of it kind of appearing, you could say a good cleric, a smart cleric might also say, "Oh, I beg a boon of thee before that you leave." Should he kind of hit the mark on a die 20 roll, you know, here's a table of boons that the herald might give.
10. I rolled a 10. Give us a 10.
10. The herald grants protective ward that causes all spells cast directly at the cleric to suffer a -2 penalty to their spell checks for 2d10 turns.
Nice.
So this book, I guess we should say, is going to be for DCC, but the majority of this, there's no reason it can't be used with anything. The only thing that would make it difficult is like we have a D14 in here or D24, right? Or
but anyone whatever. Who loves dice would probably have those, right? Like this is something
very easy to do anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, you can fake it with other
dice. Like what there's the app that can roll dice, Purple Sorcerer.
Purple Sorcerer, yeah. Crawler, right? Crawler, yep. Companion, yep. Or something.
Yep.
And you could easily take this thing that we just said, it gives a -2 penalty to spell checks, but you could just turn it into like spell resistance, right?
Yeah.
For 5e or something before that, right? Or for like any OSR game, it's basically like, it's not that hard to say, hey, you get a +2 saving throw with this against other spells or whatever. Pretty easy just to convert right on the fly, really.
Yeah, because everything we've said so far is just narrative, you know? It's like, what does this look like? That's about it. What is on this? What color? There aren't a lot of references to DCC things until you get into like using a luck check to see how many followers you may have converted. But I would say, I mean, I don't run a lot of other OSR games, sometimes LOTFP, sometimes first edition. But I mean, I think going forward, I would actually add a luck stat because it's so useful and it's so fun to use.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So let's roll up some worship practices for my God here.
All right.
So like if I'm running a game and I'm using, this is some of the stuff that you quickly bypass and you don't really get into. But if when you have like a book like this and you're sitting at the table and you didn't necessarily have a great thing figured out, or you're looking for inspiration for your game and someone's like, well, hey, what does, you know, what does my God do for practices? What does it look like if they're doing something and you don't know, and you can quickly do this? Like one of your tables here is sacrifice. You know, what are you supposed to sacrifice if my deity's upset with me, or if I'm saying I want to do something in order to show, you know, how much I, or if, tell other people, hey, I'm going to give you a cure spell, but you need to sacrifice to my God. Mm-hmm. What would that be? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And not only that, you could use it for like the group of cultists that you break in, you know, like what are they doing?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. What are they doing at this moment? So, that's
how are they dressed? It, yeah.
Yeah. Helps player facing as well as, GM facing, all depending on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned your guy has a scroll, right?
Yes.
It is actually carved in stone tablets, so it's like a little stone scroll, I guess. It could also have been inked on linen and a bunch of other things. Nice. Worship practices you wanted to hit, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I like some of these.
21. No, I don't want to do that.
Contortion. That's what I want you to. I want to hear you say that. That's exactly what I was looking at.
I actually looked up that word last night, James, because I was reading first and only the first Gaunt's Ghosts ghost book. I can't even talk. Gaunt's Ghosts.
And I forgot how to say it already. Pronounce this word, James.
Ululation.
Ululation, yeah.
Okay, and so that's pretty much like the Xena war cry, right? Or no?
Yeah,
it's like it's a
screaming or keening.
So during the practices, they ululate. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm. That's close enough. Yeah. Or you could speak in tongues, or you could just make a horrible noise. You could sing.
Throat singing.
Yeah. Do you want to know what, you know, if you're singing songs as a worship, which is fairly common on, you know, this planet, maybe you'll have some percussion playing.
Is that what you rolled?
Yeah. I actually rolled 8 for my choice, and I chose percussion.
I was reading a review recently that said choice is a joke. If I wanted to choose, I wouldn't need this table.
Oh, that's so good. I'm taking them all out.
It was a review. It was a review somewhere, or I don't remember what it was. It was probably one of the OSR anchorites or something. But it kind of cracked me up. But I'm not trying to give you crap. Well, actually, I guess I am.
I think at one point it said roll again, so you could get like a whole ensemble.
Yeah, roll twice.
Yeah, roll. Yeah, I actually always prefer roll twice or roll thrice, because the more you roll, the more fun you're having, right? So you have a holy day. Do you want to see what your holy day is celebrating, or why is it held in reverence?
I do.
This is actually the death of a prophet.
Ooh, yeah.
So this is, you know, what, May, let's say it's May 3rd. Or whatever, like Ukana the 5th. That's a made up month I just made up. That's, you know, this death of this prophet.
Nice.
His name was Gridar. We're
all ululating.
Yeah.
With percussion, with drums. Playing in
the background. Sacrificing grain.
But how do you actually celebrate?
That's a good question.
By boon granting. You grant your fellow worshipers boons, not those sacred boons we covered already.
No.
What kind of boons?
Just normal, everyday, mortal boons.
Oh, here's a cupcake.
Yeah.
Or like,
I beg thee of a cupcake.
Or like, hey, I will hoe your garden tomorrow. Oh, that's very nice of you. I will milk your goat in the morning.
Are these all euphemisms? Because you're making me feel uncomfortable.
Yes. Just where your mind is. Table 311, holy event location. I see a problem with it, but let's not talk about that right now.
Yeah, it's a D20 table with 24 results.
Yeah, you know, in case you're feeling saucy. You actually have to go to the edge of a volcano to celebrate this.
Oh, my.
Holiday. Yeah, it's not very sexy.
This is a cool holiday.
This martyr or this prophet was very important.
He probably was thrown into a volcano, or maybe he jumped in one. This is always observed in the winter, by the way.
It's the best time to go next to a volcano.
And it actually goes on for a week.
No, this is great. Now I'm going to put a volcano in the area where all these cultists go to hang out and worship their prophet.
Nice.
Don Stroud.
I like that prophet. Those are things you can roll up for how you worship your God, right?
Holy cow, this has gone pretty far. All right, so I'm gonna put this God, I'm gonna write this guy up, and I'll give it out to patrons first, and then I'll send it out to all public on my Patreon. Mm-hmm. So. And I'm going to probably use it in my Castles and Crusades, the Red Road game. So awesome.
That was one of the first three chapters. So there's much more in the book that you don't know about yet, people. But I'm going to be doing some sneak peeks over the next couple of weeks. I think we still have 18 days left in the Kickstarter for the Lesser Key to the Celestial Legion. And
awesome. Awesome. So let's move on a little bit, and I guess this is just like a pimp your guys' stuff show. And we mentioned the House of the Red Doors already, but Don is actually involved in another Kickstarter. Who's that with, and what are we talking about, Don?
Yeah, so that is a Pound of Flesh for the sci-fi horror RPG Mothership.
Mothership. Mother.
And I'm the co-writer / developer. Chance Phillips is the primary author on this one. And that Kickstarter is going on right now as well.
Who put the Kickstarter on?
This one is by the publisher of Mothership Tuesday Night Games.
No, it doesn't say that, I don't think.
Wow.
It's got like some guy's name I didn't recognize on the Kickstarter, and I was just curious.
Oh, Alan Girding. Alan Girding and Sean McCoy run Tuesday Night Games.
That's right.
It started as a like social party game company, and they've done a couple games since then. Two Rooms and a Boom was the first big one. World Championship Russian. And then that's
Bad not lemonade. Lemonade.
Yeah.
That's not lemonade.
Yeah. And now awesome. And they stealth released Mothership at last year's Origins. That was 2018. And then Dead Planet came out at 2018 Gen Con. And yeah, Pound of Flesh will probably, I think it's going to come out by, I don't know if this is, don't quote me on this, Origins this year, 2019. We are
awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about Mothership and Dead Planet and how great the layout is and just the overall content. I'm writing my own game based around Mothership Relentless. So I'm pretty excited about that. All right. I guess I was like, it's always so funny on this show because I feel like, man, we don't have enough stuff. And then I look up and I'm like, oh, I better do the outro. So right. The first thing I'd like to do in this segment of the show is thank all of the patrons. And I always give three call outs. And recently I've been doing a shout outs to most recent peoples of the patron. And I actually have kind of some famous ones on the G pluses, which is good because since G plus is going away, right? Excuse me. The first one is none other than James Mal. James Malashevsky, thank you so much for being a patron, sir. It was a real joy and honor and a little bit fanboying from me meeting you at Game Hole in 2018 and having you be interested in this show and what I do is pretty humbling. So thanks. Next up is Joe the Lawyer, Joe D. I don't know how to pronounce Joe's last name. What do you guys want to take a stab at it?
Dimesh.
Dimesh. Joe Dimesh. He is a New Yorker, so that sounds Joe Dimesh, eh? That wasn't New York at all, was it?
Why do you do that? You do A for every accent.
Hey, I'm Russian. Hey, I'm Russian. Now I'm Russian. Now I'm a gnome.
Hey, I'm Italian. Hey. Now I'm a gnome. Hey.
Don't you remember the grinder gnome from the game? I kept doing that.
Yes, I do remember. Hey.
Hey, I'm a gnome now, eh? Eric Swanson and Joe Dimesh, eh? Thank you so much for being patrons of Hobbs and Friends. Neither of you guys have a patron that you want to talk about, right?
No.
Good. There's too darn many of them. Everyone should shut theirs down and everyone can just be part of mine.
Sounds good.
All right. So that wasn't that funny, obviously. So if anyone wanted to talk about your Celestial Legion, James, how would they get a hold of you?
I am sometimes on the Twitter at Lectrotext, also lectrotext@hotmail.com.
Nice.
Not Hotmail, gmail.com. Okay. Hotmail. Going back to 1996.
Are we all drunk?
Maybe.
Nice. Don, what about you?
Yeah, I'm at Don Stroud on the Twitter, and I have a lot of friends on Facebook, so you know you can hit me there. That's it.
All right. For me, I am at OSRN Hobbs in my personal feed at Hobbs Indeed. If you do want to be a patron, like those three great people that we laughed uproariously about and my really bad accents, you can go to Patreon at /OSRN Hobbs. You can always stop by my website, HobbsNFriends.com. HobbsNFriends.com. Or you can go to the MeWe group, a Facebook group, in the G Plus group for two more months, I believe. And last but not least, head over to the Audio Dungeon Discord, where tons of cool things surrounding all the podcasts I'm involved with are found. I get people asking me what the link is and just keep doing it, and I'll send it out and we'll get as many people there as possible, because I think that's one of the futures of where everyone's going. It seems even more popular than MeWe, honestly.
Discord?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible place to store things and try to run campaigns off of, but it's a good place just to talk to creators and engage with each other, you know.
True.
There's too much going on MeWe. There's like a couple different avenues of talking, and it's like I can't get with it.
Yep, there is no other anything else like G+. So any last words, James, before we head on out of here?
Hey, thanks for having me on. This is fun.
It went really fast, didn't it?
Yeah.
It does it's go crazy. Fast.
What about you, Don? Anything else you want to say, because you're never getting on this show again?
This is my last time. Number 5 or 6. All right. Well, it was great being a part of your show, and I'll miss all you Hobbs goblins, and never forget me.
Well, thank you, Don.
Thanks, man.
All right, guys.
All right.
We're wrapping up this show all about the Lesser Key and these two awesome newcomers to writing in the OSR adjacent crowd and DCC and beyond, I suppose.
Yeah.
And always remember, it's better to burn out than to fade away.